The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
We're delighted to be joined for the Culture Club today by Helen Steele, artist and fashion designer. I'm sure you may have bought her clothes in Dunn stores, for example. But she is taking part in Incognito, which at this stage you must be familiar with. It's an annual event, Ireland's biggest online art sale. Art buyers have no idea of who is behind the art that they bid on, and they only find out after they have purchased. And just remind us, please, Helen, who makes the money out of this?
All of the money goes to nursing care for children with neurodivergent problems, but also end-of-life care as well, and whose families need a break.
And this is the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation, which has been doing extraordinary work since Jonathan Irwin set it up, the late Jonathan Irwin.
Yeah, he was an amazing man.
He was.
Amazing, amazing man, yeah. So for every card that's sold, it goes towards, all of the funds go towards nursing care, so for each of these families. And in fact, where I live, where I used to live, one of the children who did use, the family did use Jack and Jill Foundation, he was in my eldest daughter's school, so it made it pretty poignant and even more important to help out.
This is a great initiative, and I say it's great fun for people discovering if they have actually managed to buy something which is by a really established artist. Tell us a little bit of what type of paintings you do so that people might have a clue as to what they're getting.
Well, this is definitely not going to give them a clue. I use multi layers of colour and make the paint flow and chop it with razor blades. I've been known to fill teddy bears up with condoms full of paint and chainsaw them.
Okay, yeah, as you do, yeah.
As you do on a Sunday. So, yeah, I work with colour theory and colour therapy, needed it after that. But, yeah, the work is pretty colourful. And there's been some amazing people that have been involved, like in the last couple of years, like Bruce Springsteen and his wife. Also the artist Macer, to name a few. So you don't know when you're buying, you don't know whose artwork you're buying. So you could be buying something for 65 euro that could be worth thousands, millions in years to come.
Tell us a little bit though about how your art informs your fashion design.
Well, I can't create the prints without the art, so it's an integral piece of the collection. And how I create the prints is that it lands on different points of the body. Some of the pieces are very kind of bright and full on and energetic, and then there are other pieces that are more kind of comfortable and calm, and you know, are in like muted and blue tones and to calm and help relax and after a hard workout or just bring the kids to school.
Could you even describe what you're wearing now to me? I might put a picture of it up as well on our Twitter feed for people to see it, because it's really spectacular visually.
This is made from recycled plastic bottles. And it's the fabric printers are in the Netherlands. But the print is made from multi layers of a mixed diesel and paint and water all together, and photographed it, then poured it, then photographed it again, digitally manipulated and merged the two over each other.
It's really spectacular looking.
Thank you.
Is that part of the Dunn Stores range, or do you have other ranges as well?
I have a mainline range that's on my website, but the sportswear is exclusively with Dunn Stores.
Okay, all right. Well, just to let people know as well, incognito.ie is the website where people can view the artwork from a whole range of people, and the sale is taking place on Wednesday, April 24th. So let's get to your choices for the Culture Club. We start always with music, Helen. And the first single that you remember buying, you're probably too young to have been buying singles.
I don't know. Pass. The first music that I ever remember buying was, it was actually the album The Lion and the Cobra by Sinead O'Connor. And I think I was in first year at the time, and it just blew my mind. And it was the same with all of the girls in the school as well. It was the first time that I think a female, an Irish kind of female close to our generation had had written such amazing music and so profound and so beautiful, but was also so bloody honest about, you know, culture and what it meant to be a woman and a girl, or, you know, she was just amazing.
Let's hear a little bit from that album, Troy. Connor, that's Troy from The Lion and the Cobra. And as well as all those personal attributes you listed, what a voice.
Oh my God, what a voice. Like, incredible. What a powerful voice from such a tiny being. I mean, she was formidable and beautiful and perfect.
Now, we asked for a favourite album and you gave us quite a few, over a few, quite a few decades as well.
Yeah, yeah. My sister actually introduced me to Pink Floyd. My dad was really into the Kinks and the Stones, and my mum was into the Beatles. And but I think for me, like, the music of Pink Floyd was pretty incredible. And then, you know, Screamadelica by Primal Scream, amazing album. Park Life by Blur. I mean, these are all incredible albums, but I'd say the one I'm going to pick as number one, Octum Baby, amazing, amazing. But the one that I think was, like, for me, really out there was Moon Safari by Air.
Why was that out there for you?
I don't know. It wasn't so much out there. It was just my kind of thing. It was just the kind of music that I thought, this is so perfect. Just everything, the composition, the instruments, just, yeah, it was like kind of, there were, and it was funny as well. There were some, like, the song Sexy Boy, and the video was like, there was a monkey in it, and it was just really fun. So I really liked that.
That's the track we have, Sexy Boy. one of the few French acts to probably really make it big in the English-speaking world. That's from 1998.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
well, no, that wasn't 88, was it?
1998, sorry.
1998,
my apologies.
It's okay.
Yeah, sorry, aging that song a bit more than it was due. Very much end of the 20th century stuff. Okay, but other favourite bands, you've mentioned Blur, big favourite of yours.
Yeah.
Why so?
Again, just really loved the music, loved everything about the band. Like, for me, every song was a cracker. And I think it was... You know what? Also, it was the time of Britpop, and it was an amazing time of culture in I think in Europe. Bjork had come about. Also, there was Blur, there was Oasis, and there was an amazing art scene, and there was a fantastic rave scene and club scene. It was, and for me, they. To a certain extent, epitomised the kind of mainstream part of it, and it was one of the many albums that I just have super memories to as well.
But then the best gig you were at, you've nominated Blur's great rivals from the Britpop era,
I know.
Oasis at the Point,
back
in 1995.
Yeah,
what do you remember of it?
Oh God, vividly everything. I even remember how the tickets were bought. Myself and my ex-husband were in a place called the River Club, and we were at this kind of charity thing, and little known to each other, we bid against each other for the tickets, which was bloody stupid, but we ended up with the tickets. I just remember going with like my sister, my brother, loads of pals. The music was incredible. Yeah, I felt like a bit of a turncoat, to be honest, but they were amazing. And then years later, I ended up on holidays, and my ex-husband, we met Liam Gallagher, and my ex-husband was kept saying to him, tell him who your favourite band is. I said, no, I'm bloody not to Liam Gallagher, Jesus. But yeah, no, Oasis are amazing as well.
How was he when you met him?
Oh, he's very charming, really lovely, yeah. Very nice.
As they say, don't meet your heroes, except in your case, it would have been Damon Albarn rather than Liam Gallagher.
God, yeah, would have been gutted if he was a dick.
Let's hear a little bit of Oasis. From around that period, the Nebworth concert in 1996, performing Cigarettes and Alcohol. Cigarettes and Alcohol from 1996. Helen Steele is with us for the Culture Club this week. Helen, of course, the artist and fashion designer, is one of those taking place in Incognito, which is Ireland's biggest online art sale, which raises money for the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation. So you can view the collection at incognito.ie. The sale is taking place on Wednesday, April 24th. And we'll be back with the rest of Helen Steele's choices after this quick break. Come back. Helen Steele is with us for the Culture Club. We've gone through all her musical choices. So let's go to movies, because we give people a wide range of choice here. Movies, actors, directors, what are you going to go for?
The list is as long as my arm.
That's fine. Very we like
long,
that.
Very long list. Directors like Sofia Coppola. So I have Marie Antoinette in there. Visually stunning film. I just love her as a female director. I like Catherine Bigelow as well. But I love Wes Anderson. So I have the Grand Budapest Hotel and the Royal Tenenbaums. I mean, amazing films. Aesthetically stunning. Like The Fantastic Mr. Fox is my kids' favourite films, and they're all grown up now. They stand the test of time. He's a genius. But recently, there's just been a glut of incredible Irish films, well, Irish associated films. And one of them was All of Us Strangers. That is something that has just sat with me.
Tell me about that one. Who was in that? What was it about?
What's his name? Scott. And is it Adam Scott? Oh, no, it's not.
Andrew Scott,
thank you. And
and Paul Mescal. And Paul Mescal one, okay.
And there's only four people in the film, four characters that really hold the film. The other is the guy who played Billy Elliot as a kid, and Claire Foy. Oh, my God, the acting is incredible. Everything, the music, the dialogue, I mean, even the ending, it was so sad, but like it was so poignant as well. It was just something that really, really just sat with me. And it was much better than I had to sit through Saltburn with my mom. And believe me, she was very vocal during the bat scene, which was terrible.
Did you enjoy it though?
Saltburn, oh yeah, it was a riot. I loved it.
If only you weren't sitting with your mother watching it, is it?
God, and her being extraordinarily vocal, yeah.
Giving out, was she?
Yeah, no, yes, and actually nearly predicting what was going to happen. But yeah, no, she's a good person to bring to the cinema. But Seven Psychopaths I love as well. That's McDonough, isn't it, Martin?
Martin McDonough, yeah, because we have a clip of that in which Colin Farrell and Sam Rockwell are in it.
Hans. Isn't one of us going to address the elephant in the room?
Go on.
Why did you kill all those people?
Huh?
Why did you kill all those people?
Well, like I told you at Kaya's party, I killed all those people to spur you on a little bit and give you something to write about and get you to finish your screenplay.
I can't believe you told me about this at the party, man!
Maybe I am an alcoholic if I could forget something like that. Maybe I am an alcoholic.
Okay, listen, I didn't tell you about it at the party. I was just kidding about that because you surprised me. That would have been ridiculous telling you at the party. You might have told somebody, got me in trouble.
Come on, why did you just tell me that you told me?
Well, to make you think a little bit about your alcohol issues. How about that?
Billy, you kill women!
I killed a woman. Take it easy.
You shot her in the stomach, Billy.
Well, that's better than the head, ain't it?
Not really,
well,
no.
I said I was sorry, didn't I?
Yeah, well, I don't hang out with people who kill women, Billy, and I certainly don't write screenplays with them.
What are you talking about, Marty?
You best pack the tent up, Billy. It's over.
Woody Harrelson, Christopher Walken and Tom Waits are also in it. It's actually a movie I'd forgotten.
Ah, oh, it's brilliant. Brilliant. And I think we're so starved sometimes of colour here that when you kind of see films made in Hollywood, like or even in the Sonoran Desert or, you know, cowboy films, they're just the sky is so blue and everything's so bright and like another level.
If you love colour in your movies, have you seen Poor Things with Emma Stone?
Yes. Wasn't that fantastic?
It's wonderful, but again, visually.
Oh, amazing. The sets and the costume and everything. Impeccable film. Amazing.
Okay, let's move to plays or musicals, theatre. What do you like?
A bit of everything. I go to plays quite a bit, again, with my mum. But I do have a pretty vivid memory of one of the first kind of serious plays I went to. And it was with my brother, my mum and my dad. And it was The Stuarts of Christendom, pretty heavy. I think I was 13 and Don McCann was in it. And I just remember thinking, I had goosebumps. Like he was just unbelievable, absolutely mind-blowing. And that really gave me like a grow for theatre. That was incredible. It was really, really good. And then recently I saw like a typical Irish tourist in Ireland, saw the translations in The Abbey by Brian Friel. I love his writing. I mean, he's just fantastic. I love Marina Carr as well. In my early, like late teens, early 20s, I would have seen quite a few of her plays. And I was just like blown away by the quirkiness of the writing, by the themes. And she just writes so beautifully. And it and kind of makes, it's like dark humour as well. I think she's just one of the greatest playwrights we've had. Oh, and I saw the Gili concert at the Gate a few years ago. And that was unbelievable. It was so good. I brought my two daughters back. It was just incredible. Really, really good.
Okay. Books and authors. You've given us a few here. Okay. You're not the first person in recent weeks to give us Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a bit of a big read, isn't it?
It is. Do you know what? I remember as a teenager getting absolutely hammered and being caught on two different occasions. And on both occasions, my friend, Catherine Fox, her father, made me read two different books. And the first was Anna Karenina. The second was Ulysses. And I swear to God, I never drunk a writer after that. Epic. Epic.
That's an unusual punishment, isn't it?
It was.
But a good one.
A great one. Very clever man. Very clever man. But yeah, and I also loved the film they made of it as well. I thought that was pretty incredible. I'm kind of obsessed with Russian history and so therefore like Russian literature as well to a certain extent.
Joseph O'Connor has also done the Culture Club previously, and Star of the Sea is one of your favourites.
Oh God, yeah, what an amazing film. Again, my mum told me to read that book. It's absolutely fantastic. Amazing, amazing book.
And then the clip we have is from one of John Boyne's books, The Heart's Invisible Furies. Why have you picked this?
Oh, I just love his writing. I love his writing. I recently read the one about the priest Hugh O'Flaherty. I can't remember, my father's house, or was it that? Can't remember, but it was amazing. But I just think this book is so epic about it, just the subject matter. It spans so many generations. One minute you're crying, the next minute you're roaring laughing. And John Boyne has, like, makes you do that the whole time. I remember sitting in an airport reading one particular part and just crying, laughing uncontrollably. Like, he's fantastic.
Let's hear a little bit from the audiobook of The Heart's Invisible Furies.
Long before we discovered that he had fathered two children by two different women, one in Drimaleague and one in Clonakilty, Father James Munro stood on the altar of the Church of Our Lady, Star of the Sea, in the parish of Galeen, West Cork, and denounced my mother as a whore.
Is Catherine Goggin in attendance this morning? Catherine Goggin, there you are, said the priest, smiling at her and beckoning her forward. Come on up here to me now like a good girl. How old are you now, Catherine?
16, Father.
Say it louder, so the good people at the back of the church can hear you.
16, Father.
16. Now lift your head and look at your neighbours. At your own mother and father who have lived decent Christian lives and been credits to the parents who went before them. At your brothers, whom we all know to be fine, upstanding young men, hard workers who have led no girl astray. Do you see them, Catherine Goggin?
I do, Father.
If I have to tell you to speak up again, I'll hit you slap across this altar, and there's not a soul in the church that would blame me for it.
I do, Father, she repeated.
That will be the only time you ever utter those words in a church. Do you realise that, little girl? There'll never be a wedding day for you. Your hands are going to your fat belly, I see. Is there a secret that you're hiding?
A gasp from the pews now. This was what the congregation had suspected, of course. What else could it have been?
The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne. So, television, we ask all of our Culture Club guests to remember what they loved as children and teenagers. What are you going for?
Absolutely Fabulous, of course. It was fantastic. Yeah, it was just a riot, great fun. And the clothes were amazing as well. But I do remember just absolutely loving Blackadder. It was like Rowan Atkinson was so good in it. And the cast was incredible, like epic cast. I remember one particular episode, we used to actually pause it. I remember myself and my sister pausing it and trying to learn the names off, the words off. It was when Ed Johnson had written the dictionary for the first time, and Blackadder comes out and goes, well, congratulations, and starts listing off like all these words, like onomatopoeic, and none of it made any sense in the sentence he was forming. And I just thought that was so funny. And Johnson was like just losing his head going, okay, well, I've left all of these words out. But he was just so cunning and fantastic. Yeah,
I don't think that's the scene we have. We have one instead with Rowan Atkinson as Blackadder with Hugh Laurie.
Sir, if I may make so bold, a major crisis has arisen in your affairs.
Yes, I know, Blackadder. I've been pondering it all morning.
You have, sir?
Yes, socks. Run out again. Why is it that no matter how many millions of pairs of socks I buy, I never seem to have any?
Sir, with your forgiveness, there is another even weightier problem.
They just disappear. Honestly, you'd think someone was coming in here, stealing the damn things, and then selling them off.
Impossible, sir. Only you and I have access to your socks.
Yes, yes, you're right. Still, for me, socks are like sex. Tons of it about, and I never seem to get any.
Sir, if I may return to this very urgent matter, I read fearful news in this morning's paper.
Oh, no. Not another little cat caught up in a tree.
No, sir, there is a vote afoot in the new Parliament to strike you from the civil list.
Oh, yes, 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 but what are they going to do about my socks?
Sir, if this bill goes through, you won't have any socks.
Well, I haven't got any socks at the moment.
Or trousers, shirts, waistcoats, or pantaloons. They're going to bankrupt you.
They can't do that. Why, the public love me. Only the other day I was out in the street and they sang, "We hail Prince George! We hail Prince George!"
We hate Prince George. We hate Prince George.
Blackadder. And then, Helen, what about adult TV viewing as you got older?
Oh, there's so many things. Breaking Bad, The Wire, The Great... And recently as well, like, oh, Fleabag, loved Fleabag, and Catastrophe. Sharon Horgan is an absolute genius. Bad Sisters. And then there's a comedy called People Do Nothing about these kind of, they're not even rappers, but living in the inner city in London, and they're just hilarious. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about The Great, because we have a scene from with Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult in that.
I just thought Nicholas Hoult was absolutely incredible in this, and so was Elle Fanning. But I love anything beautiful and visually stunning, and the costumes were stunning, the sets, the scenery, like everything was just so perfect. And that's why it's one of my favourites.
Let's hear a scene from it.
This is my court and my rules. You fucking killed Tarzinski, didn't you?
I did. And felt bad about it.
Just random violence is not the way of my court.
He called me dickhead.
That is your answer. I killed a man because he called me dickhead. Do you hear how that sounds?
Sounds perfectly logical.
Violence is not the answer to everything.
In this court, it is a language that everyone understands. You will not get far if you do not come to terms with that.
Fine. Guards! The fuck out of him.
Funny. You're a witty creature. At times the point is so slight, one almost does not...
Hey!
Help, and you will be shot. My husband and I are busy discussing an issue. Can you hear me now? Enough! All of you, out! Is that how you wish me to make my point?
I said I wasn't proud of it, Clearly, it would be better if I had not. For you, I will try to be better next time. Now, I would like to go truffle hunting with my new dog.
No.
Do not be a bitch. You have kicked me and made your point, and I have taken it graciously. A tiff between lovers.
We are not lovers. We will never be lovers. You are a bloodthirsty thug, and I wish I had killed you when I had the chance.
That's your love of Russian history coming out again, is it?
No, yes.
Okay, that is, of course, Elle Fanning as Catherine the Great in The Great. Final thing. We ask everyone to nominate something that you think people should know more about. And not surprisingly, given that you're an artist, you have gone for something artistic. Tell us about this.
I have. Anytime I have like a painter's block or sometimes if I'm starting a new collection or I will walk, I'll get the Lewis, walk into town and walk across to the Municipal Art Gallery. And I love walking through the city and then I love just walking into the Municipal Art Gallery and just sitting in front of Francis Bacon's studio and just listening to him talk about his creative process. Because I think when you work as an artist or a fashion designer, there's a huge element of time spent by yourself. So it's always really good to hear, you know, how other people create, but especially how someone, you know, like Francis Bacon creates. And it was just visually to sit there and see even like his use of the colours pink and blue and red and to create something so violent but something so beautiful at the same time and something so gory. And he was just a genius, absolute genius and tortured soul as well. But yeah, it's weird. His studio is a little bit cleaner than my studio in Monaghan.
You're kidding.
No.
Because actually, as it happens, you call it the Municipal Gallery of Modern Art. Yeah. I think it's now officially known as the Dublin City Gallery, the Hugh Lane.
Okay, I apologise.
I was in it just after Christmas to see the Warhol exhibition.
Oh, yeah, I saw that a few times.
And then wandered on to have a look at the Bacon studio. And it's the biggest mess. As I said, it looked even worse than one of my daughter's bedrooms.
Yeah.
But you get your inspiration from it.
I do, definitely. I can empathise with him, most definitely. But I just think the space itself, like, even though it's taken from the UK and placed in Ireland, and he bequeathed his
Well, he was born in Dublin originally.
He was, yeah. And his dad was in the army. But the fact that it's sitting here in Dublin and you can access it, and still to this day, I do feel energy from that. Most definitely.
Helen Steele, it has been great having you, and hopefully somebody will be lucky enough to pick up your piece of art for the Incognito online art sale. All of the funds raised going to the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation. Every original postcard-sized artwork costs €65, and the collection can be viewed at incognito.ie, with the sale taking place on Wednesday, April 24th. Helen Steele, thank you so much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.